All right, it is now 6:30. We'll go ahead and start, call to order, and we'll go ahead and start with an attendance. I'm present. Boyd's present. Supervisor Nordigan's present. Amy Maurer, I do not see. Supervisor Beth, I do not see. And we have Supervisor Kubicki. We do have a quorum. So we'll move on to number two, which is citizens' comments. Michelle or Mr. Cardamone, do we have any communications?
No.
Okay, I'm seeing left and right. It's good.
Did you want to acknowledge our youth and governance presence?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. And Ms. Jantz is here also. Sorry, Ms. Jantz.
That's okay.
Moving on to reports from the chairperson. It's been pretty quiet. Oh, here we go. Michelle, Supervisor Beth just showed up.
And Maurer.
Oh, and Supervisor Maurer. So it's been pretty quiet, hence canceling January, February's. I have nothing. I don't know, Supervisor Frederick, if you want to go over anything that you listened to on legislative conference, it's fine if you say no.
Well, I'll do the same report tonight for the meeting. Governor proposed a budget. Republicans don't like it. Republicans will propose their own budget. We're probably looking at July for an actual meeting of the two budgets. That's what I heard over those 2 days.
Okay, thanks for the quick synopsis.
Well, it's a true one.
Are there any reports from committee members? Seeing east and west, I'm going to assume no. Move on to, do we have, there he is, I see he just popped up. Okay, number five, we already talked about communications. Number six, can I get a motion to approve the, or any changes that need to happen to the minutes for December?
Move the minutes from the December meeting.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Nordigan, I think it was seconded by Supervisor Maurer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any those against? Hearing none, passes unanimously. Thank you. I will now pass it on. We have Mr. Barr from the WCA who's going to give us a little annual presentation, which we always look forward to. So welcome, Mr. Barr. Thanks for meeting with us today, and thanks for adjusting last week the dates.
Yeah, no problem. First off, great to be with you. I always enjoy traveling to Kenosha. Unfortunately, I'm not there in person. I think I missed last year too, but next year, and maybe even a time sooner, maybe this summer I can come and participate in person. I'm looking forward to doing it in person. I have to send my assistant a text here and tell her that I got on. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, Michelle, can you just keep a note that when we do open everything up, that we reach out to Mr. Barr again for to come visit us?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, good. But yeah, I'm looking forward to coming in person and you know, maybe we'll get to that this summer. I understand things are gonna open up a little more, but it's good to be with you, Andy, and to the rest of the committee. I wanna bid you a warm hello from the city of Madison, where the budget is now in progress. Governor Evers has introduced his budget. And so I have a list of items that I kind of compiled a list, and then I have some of the big ticket items I want to go over with you. And then maybe what I'll do is take your questions, if that sounds good to everybody. So just some of the CONY related items, the big ticket items, I'll just run through them and then I'll explain a couple of the ones that are most pertinent to us. There's a half a cent sales tax, subject to voter referendum that can be used by counties and municipalities with over a population of over 30,000 people. There's increases, a 2% increase in each of the 2 years in the biennium in shared revenue. There's a overall 4% increase, 2% increase each year in general transportation aids. The reauthorization of the multimodal supplemental program, the MLS program. You may remember that with the shovel-ready projects. And I think it might have been, maybe was County KR that you guys were able to get a grant for $1 million for County KR. Is that right? It's over by the Foxconn facility. So there's that. So there's a 5% increase in the entire budget, 2.5% in each year of the budget for general transit aids, $3 million for county GIS grants, 10-year renewal of the stewardship program. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. $12.7 million for full funding of county conservation staffing and cost sharing grants, $15 million in TAD funding, $10 million in increased funding for local health departments. And obviously the county, Kenosha County runs a health department. And a significant investment in mental health crisis services, including emergency detention, $1.5 million for child welfare worker training, $11.8 million in additional funding for county child support agencies, $10 million increase in the calendar year distribution for children and family aides. It's an important program for all of us. Expansion of the dementia care specialist statewide, $18.8 million increase in youth aids, and juvenile justice is part of our agenda, and I'll talk about that in a little bit in more detail. A $10 million sum sufficient appropriation for counties responsible for 17-year-old juvenile defenders, always kind of a controversial issue. We want to make sure we're made whole if they do transfer responsibilities for 17-year-olds. $2 million in broadband investment and $300,000 in annual broadband grants to local governments. So those are some of the big ticket items that the governor included in his introduction of the budget that we are pretty excited about in terms of what we're looking at. And then I just want to get into some of the bigger ticket items. And so I'll start out with stewardship. And you know, I don't know if in Kenosha County, if you have a lot of stewardship land, you do have some rural components to your counties. So back in the 1921 budget, the governor had reauthorized stewardship for a 2-year period. And what he wanted to do was convene a blue ribbon panel. And he wanted to look at the program. There is some debate about stewardship and the levels of bonding. Right now, the governor is proposing $700 million in bonding authority on an annual basis for the program. A lot of Republican senators, particularly in the state Senate, have concerns about that bonding. They're concerned about the purchase of land and through bonding and the dollars that will accrue when that takes place. They'd like to see this number come down, but this is a starting point. And the governor started at $700 million for the program, and he has reauthorized stewardship for 10 years. In the 2019-21 budget, the idea was you'd have a blue ribbon commission look at the program and find efficiencies, how can the program run best, answer questions like that, and then report back to the governor and the legislature and then maybe implement some of the suggestions that came out of that blue ribbon committee. But I think because of COVID and maybe other reasons, the blue ribbon commission never really got off the ground. And so essentially, the governor has just come back and introduced a 10-year reauthorization at $700 million in bonding authority for the program. And that will last until 2031, 32, if it's affirmed by the legislature. So that's the situation with stewardship. And so any questions on that? No? Okay, and we can revisit this at the end too, when I get through walking through some of these. County conservation staffing and cost sharing grants. And I know Kenosha County has a conservation department. And so really what this is to do is to allow for full funding for county conservation staffing activities. You know, the recommended number of staff that is recommended by the state, the cost goes up, there is inflation, people get raises, it costs more to employ these people, they're professionals. And so through inflationary costs, through different things that happen, we oftentimes are asking for more money for the program. Now the governor's budget essentially increases the base funding for the program by just over $3.7 million. The program was funded at just under $9 million statewide on an annual basis. We had asked the legislature for $13 million. And actually the legislature in one of the bills from the Clean Water Package, the assembly actually passed a $12.4 million appropriation on an annual basis for this program. Subsequent to that, however, the Senate did not take up the bill. COVID hit and the bill died. And so we were back to base funding at $9 million. In the 1921 budget, the legislature increased the allocation for the program to just under $9.5 million annually. Okay, but that was one-time funding. So base funding was just under nine. They added about $400,000 or $500,000 to the program. The $400,000 or $500,000 has gone away because we're in a new biennium. We're preparing for a new biennium. And so we want to try to get to full holistic funding. And essentially that amount is pretty much in the ballpark of what the governor has proposed, which is about $12.7 million annually. That's his proposal. We support the proposal. And we'll see what the Joint Committee on Finance does, but that's where we're at on county conservation staffing and cost sharing grants. Any questions on that? Okay, and then I had my colleague Sarah, she does health and human services, and she sent me some information about what's going on with youth justice and Lincoln Hills, and I know it was a topic that was brought up one of the times I visited Kenosha County in the past. The governor is proposing an overhaul of the youth justice system. He's proposing, of course, which has long been talked about, the closing of Lincoln Hills. He's proposing not to build new juvenile prison type one facilities. Juveniles will be served in community-based settings. I think the issue is what do we know about this? It's not enough to know whether this is something we support. We need more details to formulate a position on this item. The budget does include $10 million increase in youth aids, as I mentioned before, to help pay for some of this, but exactly what they are looking at doing and what's developed through the budget process, through the legislature, through the Joint Finance Committee, we have yet to see. We will offer suggestions. We will talk to them. I know it's an issue that Kenosha County is tracking. I had talked to your executive, Jim Cruiser, about this and the costs and if they were going to partner up with Racine County. I know Milwaukee's on their own. If you're going to have some sort of county consortium in southeastern Wisconsin, those are all questions that remain to be answered. It's an ongoing thing. It hasn't happened. I think it was 2 years ago that I spoke to you guys about this and you had lots of questions, but it's still, the questions are still there. So we're waiting to find out more on the direction that the governor and the legislature set. But this is a direction so far that the governor's, this is what he's put out there. Anybody, any questions on that? That one oftentimes gets people pretty worked up because it's an expensive item. It's not cheap. And you know, is there going to be, is the money going to come from the state? Is there going to have to be some local investment? I mean, sometimes you may not have a choice. So that's something that we'll continue to track and keep you informed about. And I'll return in the summer in person and we can talk more about where things are at once the budget. By then we'll have more, a clearer picture of where things are at. The 911 system and PSAPs, public safety answering points. A governor's budget does include funds to support PSAPs and the need to upgrade equipment at the local level. The Department of Military Affairs originally requested $2.5 million to support a state grant program. The governor included in his budget $7.5 million starting in fiscal year 23 for PSEP grants, which can be used for equipment and software expenses as well as training costs. Our goal essentially is to get $15 million for this program. So we're halfway there. We're gonna ask the legislature for more. But, and you may recall, this goes all the way back to the 2009-11 budget. Then Governor Doyle, facing the Great Recession at the time, revenues were way down, and I think the governor just wanted to try to make schools whole. And so he took this money that was in the, went for the 911 system, and he took it back and put it in the general fund, and then was able to increase sparsity for schools, and we're still trying to get the money back and move the ball down the field on this issue. 911 is an important program. You have to be able to call for help. And so this is something that we are certainly tracking and following, and we'd like to see $15 million in the program. Also in the budget is what's known as a local option sales tax for counties and for communities with a population of 30,000 people or more, not dollars. And so this would have to be approved via a referendum. And I think right now, as it stands, this is dead on arrival. Both legislative leaders, both Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu and Speaker Robin Voss have said they don't support this. And I really think, you know, we're going to look at this in terms of standalone legislation. We're going to have to try and craft a product. I think it's something we should pursue. I think it's a long-term heavy lift type proposal. But I also think in terms of a half a cent sales tax, you know, you have to have some buy-in from the legislature, from the Republicans, and you're going to need to dedicate a portion of this money if you do get it approved to property tax relief to really get the Republicans on board. Obviously, it's a Republican-controlled legislature in both houses, Democratic governor. And so I think the legislature is concerned that they would go along with something like this and then include a caveat that, let's say, 50 or 60% of the dollars have to be dedicated to property tax relief. The governor could then land a veto that stipulation. And so with standalone legislation, that's not possible. That's not an ability he has. He could veto the legislation as a whole, but he couldn't parse out the portion requiring dedication to property tax relief. So that's going to be something, if there's any chance of that passing the legislature, that's something the Republicans are going to want. And so that's something we should, as we think about that, we're going to have that discussion. And some people aren't happy about having that discussion, but this is part of reality. And so that's where we're at. General transportation aids, the governor's budget does include an increase in GTA, 2% in each year of the biennium. I've worked on general transportation aids my entire career here at WCA, which is 9 years. When I started, GTA allocation statewide on an annual basis was around $94 million. General transportation aids essentially are broken down and allocated based on three criteria in a formula. And the three criteria include lane miles, population, and a six-year rolling average of your county's transportation spending. So if you have a big public works project, if you have a large road you're working on, if you have something that's sort of on that six-year rolling average, you know, your GTA allocation is going to be higher. And a lot of counties will call me after one of their big projects goes off that six-year rolling average because they're going to get less. And they'll be like, why did we get less? Well, we heard from you, Dan, that GTA, the money allocated for GTA went up, and it did, but your six-year rolling average went down. And so that's what happens. And so my advice in terms of how you use your levy is make sure you have an equitable amount of levy included, and then you will have general transportation aids available to you. And so I keep that in mind. Also the local, but anyway, essentially what this would do, I should say this, we went from $94 million back when I started, that was in 2012. And then in subsequent budgets, I'd say in the 17-19 budget, we got about a 13% increase. In the 19-21 budget, we had a 10% increase. And in this budget, we have a 4% increase, 2% in each year of the biennium, 4% total. And essentially, right now, general transportation aid statewide, we're at $122.2 million. And if this holds, we would be at just over $127 million annually statewide for GTA. So we started at 94 when I was hired. We've never been cut. We've had some small increases along the way. Past two budgets have been really good. And if this is affirmed, we'd be at just over $127 million. So it's not too bad going from 94 to 127. That's over one third in just 9 years. And so I'm proud of my work on that, by the way. It's one of the programs that I spend a lot of time on. And so what can I say? I'm effective. What can I tell you? Anyway, local multimodal transportation program. This is the program I mentioned. I think it was County KR, but to his credit, Jim Cruiser, your county executive, called. He said, well, Dan, you know, because we have these committees that distribute this money. The towns had committees, and this is for the local multimodal program. We developed committees. We had highway commissioners, and I think we had 9 highway commissioners and 3 county board supervisors. And Jim called. He said, Dan, can you promote this project? Can you talk to them about it? I thought it was County KR. I'm pretty sure. Are they redoing that, making it 4 lanes? Okay, that's the project. But Jim, to his credit, said, Dan, what can we do? And I said, well, I can mention it, but I'll just tell you that, Jim, I'm going to mention projects that are brought up by any elected official. But Jim was really active in promoting that project, and it did get partially funded. It was $1 million. I think he needed more, but the $1 million helped. So the county was happy with that. They got it. And I think it's a real benefit. And so essentially, we had $1.5 billion in requests across the state for this program. Only $90 million was allocated in the 19-21 budget. And subsequent to that, now, that was one-time funding. They took general purpose revenue, moved it into the transportation fund, $90 million, and funded this new program. This is a program that was started by Senate Republicans, but the governor liked it. He signed it. And then our goal, as long as we got it, we saw the $1.5 billion in requests. We're like, geez, there's an interest, there's a need. I did have one senator comment to me, well, Dan, you know, it's true, probably some needs, but some of that stuff may be wants and not needs. I said, well, that's true, but there are also some very good projects that just didn't make the cut last time. And so it'd be nice to have another kick at the can. And so we will have another kick at the can based on what the governor has proposed, $75 million for the local multimodal transportation program. These are shovel-ready projects. Okay, and so those are projects that you can tangibly see. Legislators like them because they can go out and show the taxpayers, hey, it's your dollars at work, and I voted for this. We did it. It's a good thing. So those are some of the big ticket items. That's the budget in terms of counties in a nutshell. And at this time, I'll conclude my portion of the presentation, but we can open it up to discussion. And questions, and And I'm happy to have a conversation with all of you, but those are sort of the big highlights of the budget as it stands.
Hi, Supervisor Nordigan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan, I had a couple of questions. I know it looks like that the proposed sales tax increases DOA, but
right
when it was coming through and they said it would go to a referendum, is that a simple majority?
Yes.
Or would that be a supermajority? It'd be a regular majority, 50.5%.
50%.
Okay.
Yeses and noes.
So that wouldn't be advisory. They were looking for an actual referendum.
Correct.
Okay. And then what's the WCA's position on that? WCA does support it?
We support it, yeah.
Okay. The budget that was proposed by the governor, how much increased debt would that have gone to the state?
How much increased debt in terms of the governor? So I'll say this, with the transportation budget, and my area is transportation, I lobby essentially on, we have four lobbyists, several issue areas, seven issue areas. I have two of them. My two areas are transportation and environment and land use. On transportation, basically he takes bonding and increases it to about $550 million. That's up from, you know, maybe 325. And that basically is to complete the east-west I-94 corridor in Milwaukee County, okay? Now, there's different talking points on this being put up by the governor's office. And I kind of think the Republicans like his transportation budget. That's one of the areas they said they agree with him on. I wouldn't say the debt service in terms of the transportation fund is out of control, but you know, you always want to try and pay for things as you go. But that being said, I think that bonding is an appropriate use when you have large projects, so financing. Uh-huh. So, but you don't want it to get too out of control. I think one year Governor Walker had he didn't want to raise the gas taxes, he didn't want to raise fees, and so he did a lot of bonding, like $900 million. Right now we're in the $500 million range. But we were a little nervous. Even some of our advocates for transportation expenditures and funding said, whoa, that's a little too much bonding. And because mm-hmm. we just don't want the fund to get out of control because you got to pay for this stuff. And so, you know, essentially, I can't tell you other than that, because transportation is my area, how much debt we're going to have. Actually, overall in the budget, there's a surplus. So we're not in terrible shape financially as a state. COVID. And also, the state's going to get more money from the relief package from the federal government, that they'll have some flexibility to spend that money, too. So we'll see.
Well, now that you mentioned surplus, what does it do to our surplus? I mean, I've heard different numbers.
The COVID relief?
No. The budget as presented by the governor. What would that do to our surplus? Was he taking from the surplus?
It would spend the surplus, I think. He does have a rainy day fund. Yeah, he's got a rainy day fund. The surplus
isn't that what the surplus is?
No, you gotta put money into the rainy day fund and it sits there until for a rainy day. The surplus is just basically how they determine a surplus is, and there's different ways you can do it. I sort of believe in zero-based budgeting. So mm-hmm. basically, what's the state spending right now? So what did the state spend in the 2019-2021 biennium? We spent X number of dollars, okay?
Right.
And then you have to ask yourself, well, if we continue spending just at those levels, how much money would we have? Would we be over, under, you know, would we have to make cuts? Would we have extra money? And right now I'd say we'd have extra money. So mm-hmm. that's a surplus. Now, a lot of people will calculate the surplus based on the budget requests from the different departments. I wouldn't do that because I think that that's a wish list kind of, you know, when a department comes out with a budget request, it's a request. It hasn't been approved or affirmed.
Right.
It's just a request. So I don't know that that's an appropriate way to do your budgeting.
And the rainy day fund, what's in that?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't know, but I could get back to you on that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Staying on this sales tax, even though it sounds like it's DOA, you had mentioned county, city, municipalities. Does that mean that the city would be able to raise it a 0.5% and the county would be able to raise it, or one or the other?
Yeah, so a city with a population of 30,000 and any county would be able to levy with voter approval on a 0.5% sales tax.
So potentially, if the voters approved, it could be, end up being a full percent.
Correct. And let me say that too, is I think that's one of the things that's going to have to be worked on with this proposal. We had a proposal for a half a cent sales tax related to transportation a couple years back. We came up with a formula that the dollars could be shared between towns, municipalities, and counties. And the county, we've got roughly a third. I thought that was a pretty equitable, fair proposal, something that's much more doable than having multiple municipalities levy a half a percent sales tax. And I think one of the issues you're going to see, guys, is that with the wheel tax, for example. So I live in Dane County. I live in Fitchburg. Well, the state increased the vehicle registration fee, which is essentially the same as a wheel tax. Dane County lobbed on a wheel tax. So I got my new, instead of paying $75, they just added on to your vehicle registration fee. So then I got, all of a sudden, it's $150. I said, well, this isn't what I pay. It's $75. But I found out about Dane County. Now, even worse, if you live in the city of Madison, which I don't, they enacted a wheel tax as well. So your county enacted a wheel tax, your city enacted a wheel tax, and you got to pay the state, and they raised theirs. So that's a real raw deal if you live in the city of Madison, which I don't. But anyway, that stuff happens. And so I advocate for the county, obviously without pride or prejudice. So I'm going to lobby to ensure the counties have the tools in the toolbox to be able to do these things. However, as a taxpayer, as a citizen, you know, I might not be real excited about some of the tools they have, I guess. I don't know.
I do have another question, Andy.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan, you said you're also an environmental. Does that cover the emissions testing part of the environment? Are you in that portion of it?
Why am I anything related to emissions of the vehicles?
Yeah. Yeah. Was that part of the environmental?
I mean, that would be environmental. I don't know if it's something that relates to or is a county issue.
Well, the reason I bring it up is Kenosha County, you are required for vehicle emissions testing. I guess it has to do with the condition of the air.
Okay.
With now the decommissioning and tearing down of the We Energies power plant, is it a possibility, and again, you may not have any idea of this, I have an idea, that Kenosha can now remove that emissions testing requirement, such as they have in Walworth County? There are no emissions testing there.
It's a good question. I mean, that'd be a question I would reach out to the DNR about.
Okay.
I can do that too, if you'd like.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, if you can send me an email, you got my email? Let me put it in. There's a little chat here. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Because I don't know if I can give you an answer. Let's see if this works.
Okay.
Is that chat going or?
It's supposed to, but let's see.
Did I have it in here? Let's see. You see it or no?
Chat won't be working.
Oh, it's not working.
No, it won't work.
Okay.
I don't think it's available because of open meetings.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is it a possibility you can either send it to my email or send it to the chairman Berg, and he can pass it down to me? Or
so what I got
here,
how do
you guys normally communicate?
I got an email from Michelle Peralta, so how about I send it to her?
Yeah,
Michelle,
could you do that and forward it to me?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, right here, Michelle. So I'm gonna if you could forward my email, everybody, and then if there's questions I can't answer on the air here, what I'll do is I'll you can email me and I can do research for y'all.
Okay. Thank you. I'm finished. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to go quick question on the GTA, the General Transportation Aids. You had mentioned the rolling 6 years. Does every county or you're basing it on major road improvements, right?
Well, not major. Well, no, it's basically how much levy you put towards transportation, and DOT will categorize that. They have different categories. So it's essentially, in many ways, so it's population, lane miles, and then the 6 year rolling average. And that's really what that 6 year rolling average can affect a lot, because let's say you build a public works facility, there's a category for that. But after 6 years, it rolls off. Well, but you've been spending the money on it, but it rolls off. So then, you know, that's a big chunk that the state would say, well, you no longer, that no longer applies. So it's off. See what I mean? You can, let's say you bond for a public works facility for $40 million. Boom, 6 years, you're good. Hey, it really jacks up our GTA. And then other counties, maybe they don't do some of these bigger projects. But once it rolls off, then another county adds something, they bond for something, it gets categorized, is included in that 6 year rolling average, the money shifts to them. So my advice to you on GTA is to keep spending on transportation.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right, because then if you don't, then you're going to get less GTA from the state.
It's sort of like an attempt at a maintenance of effort by the state to say, hey, we're giving you this money, but we want you to maintain things on your end too.
Okay, makes sense. Supervisor Frederick, did you have a question?
Yeah, with human services, you read off a lot of things that were being increased.
Yep.
Is that everything, is that included if we accept the Medicaid money from the feds? Is there anything that's increased without taking that money?
So all the increases that I read are not related to that money. That'd be the Medicaid money from the feds would be an additional dollars for the state.
Okay.
Yeah, this doesn't involve the Medicaid dollars.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any more questions for Mr. Barr? Not seeing anybody take their mute off. So thank you, Mr. Barr, Dan, for coming and speaking with us today and all the input. It's great to have. And we look forward to when we open everything up to having you in person.
I will be in person. I look forward to it. Always love to come to Kenosha.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to number 8. Any other matters as may be appropriate brought before the committee? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Second.
All right, there we go. So motion by Supervisor Nordigan, second by Supervisor Kubicki. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Any no's? All right, thank you. See you all in 28 minutes.
Yep. 28 minutes.